This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm not doing this just for show. I mean this.
I can't believe Kenny has taken somebody off the board.
He's off the board.
You're going to make this really hard.
I'm going to bring in Ryan Wilson from CBS Sports, CBSSports.com, senior draft analyst for CBS Sports. Ryan, are you ready?
Let's do it.
Yesterday, Ryan's basically just going to co-host this segment with us here. He's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Yesterday, Jimmy Haslam had some very candid words about Deshaun Watson and his future with the football team, basically saying dunzo cremunzo, and the word of Lima and all his buddies growing up, that it ain't happening ever again. He ain't going to play for the Browns ever again. In so many words, he didn't exactly say that, but you heard the words, or you heard the quotes, read the quotes, and I'm sure you were just as surprised as all of us, but it seems to be done. Immediately, I started seeing people going, okay, if it ain't going to be a quarterback, it might not be a quarterback, but if it ain't going to be a quarterback, let's go to this guy. And I go, you guys just want to be excited. Because... Hear me out. If you ain't the best cornerback, why am I taking you number two? If you ain't the best wide receiver, why am I taking you number two? If I take you and you're playing cornerback, which seems to be what he wants to do, but all these other metrics say he should be playing wide receiver. Well, if I take you and I make you a cornerback, then there will be a package for you as a wide receiver. If I take you and make you a wide receiver, am I really going to make a defensive package of you being a cornerback? And then the moment, I mean the second in the first preseason game or the first tweet you get from any of us at the first joint practice of MJ Emerson getting burned, which is going to happen, or anybody getting burned, it's going to be Travis Hunter, Travis Hunter, Travis Hunter, Travis Hunter. He should be playing both sides. 120 snaps in college. He should be playing a bunch of snaps now. And I go, you know what? For our own good, I got to take Travis Hunter off the board for me.
Because you don't want to deal with the fallout.
I don't want to deal with the fallout. I don't know if I trust the coaching staff to put him in the right spot. And again, I have to ask you, if you don't have him rated as the best cornerback and you don't have him rated as the best wide receiver, why am I taking a guy who's not the best of either, number two overall?
He's the best cornerback, and he's 1A wide receiver. So
I thought Will Johnson was the best cornerback.
Will Johnson was my – here's the thing. I'll give you guys a little secret. Will Johnson was my number one over the summer. He didn't play the second half of the season because of the turf toe, didn't work out because of hamstrings. And I talked to folks around the league that say he's been training pretty slow in terms of the sporty time. And, look, I have to remind myself every year, Kyle Hamilton, Brian Branch, all these guys who got hung up on because of slow 40 times who were first-round talents. I get that. But I need to know how fast this guy's going to run if I'm taking him number two overall at Will Johnson. He's a great player. He's not going to be as fast as Patrick Surtain, who I think ran the sub 4.4 when he came out a few years ago at Alabama and just got paid. But, Travis Hunter's number one because we, even though Travis hasn't run, we've seen him play, as you noted, 120 snaps a game, and he was always the fastest person on the field. The issue is the health. And I know you're trying to avoid having to have the conversation of should he be DB or wide receiver, but you also don't want to play him more than 40 or 50 snaps a year either, because – if he gets hurt, then you're going to have a whole bunch of other conversations that you may not want to have.
Yeah. I just felt that a lot of people wanted to be excited by the number two overall pick. Everybody wants to be excited. He's an exciting player, but I don't know, man. You didn't do a great job of talking me out of my thoughts there, Ryan.
Yeah, we should have discussed that beforehand.
Why? You would have been able to better talk me out of my thoughts?
Well, that I don't know. If you guys want to be excited, so I'm guessing no one should or Sanders. Where are you and Abdul Carter? Are you okay with having someone to help Myles Garrett continue his happiness?
Well, after Jimmy Haslam's comments yesterday, I'm really warming up to Abdul Carter.
I need somebody to help him walk up the stairs, given the stress situation in his foot.
Seemed to have no problem walking around kicking a tow truck driver's ass. Now, did he?
Fair enough. So we're out of Shador.
Well, hold on. Right. I want to get back to Travis Hunter quick because I came across a scouting report that said wide receiver comps for Hunter. Odell Beckham Jr., Justin Jefferson, Garrett Wilson, T. Higgins, cornerback comparisons, Champ Bailey, Charles Woodson. Okay, so he's the best player in the history of football. Like, are we getting a little crazy here?
Yeah, no, we're getting a little crazy. He's a slight frame, and injuries have been a concern throughout his career, even going back to Jackson State. Some things you can't control. 2 years ago against Colorado State, he got that cheap shot on the sidelines. I think he maybe lacerated his kidney. He had some internal injury that sidelined him, and then I think he had
so
a shoulder last
if he takes
year.
A hit, his internal organs go haywire?
He's not the only one, Lima, but it's a concern because he's not built like Champ Bailey. He's not thick like that. He's more slender frame, if I could put it that way, closer to Sauce Gardner than maybe Darrell Revis back in the day. So you just have to manage those things. So you have to manage everything with every player. There's always something. Will Johnson's built like a truck, but he is turf toe. So it's one thing or the other. Any consideration to, and this won't happen because I don't think the Titans will come off of it, to try to trade up for Cam Ward, if that's who you love?
So we had a lot of discussions about that when it seemed like Tennessee was open for business. You know, Tennessee has played it perfectly, really causing a lot of people to wonder how much they truly love him or whether or not they're open for business for a big trade up. But, you know, I come back to, Ryan, what did we say about the quarterbacks, you know, at the start of the year? What did we say halfway through the year? What did we say before the end of the year? What are we saying now? And it really just seemed like both of these guys, Shador and Cam, they don't have the highest of grades if you were to put them, you know, with all the other quarterbacks and all the other drafts. And there might be a gap between Cam and Shador, but there also seems like there's a gap between Cam and the guys we have at the top of the last five drafts.
Yeah, and I'm coming around to putting Cam closer to that conversation with previous draft classes, last year being the one we talk about the most. I think Shador, the issue for me with Shador isn't anything that he's done on the football field. It's that when you get to the NFL and you lack the high-end physical traits of a Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels or Drake May, or even a Bo Nix, or in this case, a Cam Ward, they all have those things. And then you're starting to play with the degrees of, okay, he almost made that play. He almost made that throw because he lacked that physical ability to win outside the pocket or the arm strength to get the ball into wherever he needed to get into. And those are the concerns. Like, I think if you put Shador in on the Rams or the 49ers, they're probably going to the Super Bowl. But unfortunately, when you get drafted in the first round, you're going typically to a bad team. So those are the issues for me. But I think Cam has made a pretty good case over the last half of his final season in Miami and then the pre-draft process, which we do put too much value on, but I still fall for it every time, that he is a little closer to perhaps where some of those quarterbacks were in last year's draft class. And maybe more importantly, when you talk to people, they say he has an edge to him. And sometimes you need a guy that has the memory of a goldfish in terms of just making play after play and then makes a mistake and comes back and goes back to making more plays.
We have Ryan Wilson joining us from CBS Sports. So, by the way, let me throw this in there with the quarterback situation before we talk about this. Diana Russini, she posted just moments ago that Raheem Morris, this is at the meetings, the NFL owners meetings down in Florida, Raheem Morris on Kirk Cousins returning to the team in a backup role, though if a trade opportunity presents itself that works for both sides, they'll look into it. Atlanta does not expect him, being Cousins, to show up for voluntary work this spring. Should they make a trade for Kirk Cousins and forget about a quarterback at number two? Or, hey, if they trade for Kirk Cousins, very much the quarterback at number two is in play.
Yeah, man, you got to figure out which Kirk Cousins you're getting. If you're getting closer to 75-80% of what Kirk was before the injury, I think you trade for him, and then maybe you take Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter or whomever. And because the Steelers are the test case, and now the Browns are going to see this up close and personal. They got nervous and overdrafted Kenny Pickett back in 2022, and it sort of set them back a little bit. And we'll see. The Steelers might do it again this year if they take Jackson Dart or whomever at pick 21. I think you just take – you have to trust whatever your personnel department decided throughout the scouting process, and if your board says take Travis Hunter, take Travis Hunter. And if you have to roll with Kirk Cousins for a year and he's looks like he did last year, then it is what it is. But you don't want to compound the problem by taking a player that you didn't believe in. And that's not to say Shador can't be the number two overall pick, but if in this scenario the Browns weren't crazy about him, then I would seriously consider about trading for him and for Kirk and then getting a fantastic player that, for example, could help Myles Garrett. So I just think we see too much teams overreacting, getting nervous, trying to fix a hole that ends up making things worse in the long run.
Ryan Wilson, CBS Sports, joining us on the hotline. Obviously, people in Cleveland paid a lot of attention to Will Howard the last year, especially during the magnificent playoff run. So you look at his size. We know about his mobility. We know that he could be a perfect, you know, goal line quarterback as well. What is it about his game that still has his projections well below the first round?
Yeah, if you go back and look at his numbers at Kansas State compared to what Kyle McCord was doing at Ohio State, Kyle McCord's numbers were better, and a lot of times a lot better. And I think it felt like coming into Ohio State, Will was a game manager. That doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing. But you talked about it, Lima. Indiana game on. It was the Indiana game. He went off. The Michigan game, they somehow lost. And then the rest of the games were the playoff games. I think he completed like 77% of his passes. He was playing at a high level. He was making some big boy NFL throws. And you talked about the physical stuff. I mean, I was at the pro day last week, and he was standing next to Jack Sawyer. And if they didn't have their names on the back of their jersey, they looked to be exactly the same size and width. And we talked to him at the combine. He's a great guy. Like, he's all about football. He's locked in, all those other cliches we like to talk about this time of year. And he has easy arm strength. And by that, I mean he can make throws down the field and step on throws and not have to really get into it. He can do it pretty easily. I think he's going to end up going on day two. I think the Steelers took him out the night before the pro day. I know there were 32 teams there, but, I mean, it was the national champion, so there see a lot of guys. But saw Kellen Moore, saw Ben Johnson. He doesn't need a quarterback, but he was there in terms of looking at the offense. The Steelers had Tomlin, Arthur Smith, the OC, and the GM, Omar Khan there. So there's going to be interest in him, and I would imagine – I've talked to teams that think he could go before Quinn Ewers. So if he went before Quinn Ewers and Jalen Milroe, that would not surprise me. So I think there's actually a little more love for him in the NFL than perhaps we're hearing in the media.
Can I just tell you this? If the Steelers are willing to wait, I got nothing against Pat McAfee whatsoever. This isn't what I'm saying here. But if the Steelers are willing to wait until April 9th, that Aaron Rodgers makes some grand announcement that he's going to play for the Pittsburgh Steelers because it's a live show, I don't want to hear anything about the Browns ever again from any Steelers fans. Because if you guys have been sitting there, if the Steelers fans have been sitting there for so many years saying, wow, the Browns are going to do Browns, no. That's old-style Brown stuff, waiting on some guy to go on a live television show to announce whether or not he's going to go to Pittsburgh or not. That's some Brown stuff. I don't ever want to hear it again.
No pushback. And it just goes to show how spoiled Steelers fans have been for decades now, because they're so used to winning that they don't understand what desperation looks like until you're in the middle of it. And then suddenly everything becomes okay. Like, oh, it's not that bad. And that's how you get to this situation. And the Steelers they're in a predicament. And if Aaron Rodgers leaves them hanging, and I've heard various things about how seriously he wants to play in Pittsburgh, then they got to figure some things out, because I suppose you could roll into next year with Mason Rudolph, but I wouldn't recommend it. And then if you overdraft a quarterback at pick 21, you're sort of back in the time machine when you took Kenny Pickett in the first round and having to make that work. So there are a lot of moving parts, and it feels, to your point, like they're not in a great place. And if you can talk yourself into Aaron Rodgers, you can talk yourself into anything, I feel like.
Hey, real quick, I'm hearing a whole lot of all these offensive line prospects. Like, well, you could play him at tackle. You could try to play him at guard. You could try to play him at tackle. Is that because there's a dearth of good offensive linemen in college, or is this kind of the way things are going to be now, is that there's more guys who you can switch from guard to tackle?
I think it's an issue that there are a lot of good offensive linemen in this class, not as deep as last year's. But the problem is, once these measurements start coming in from the combine and the pro days and you see the arm length, everyone and their brother thinks suddenly that you can just move guys around because their arms aren't NFL length worthy, if you will. So I think in some instances, it makes sense. In other instances, you're like, let's not overthink this. Will Campbell, for example, he's a left tackle until he proves otherwise, and his arms measured 33 inches, and everyone lost their minds. He started in the SEC from his freshman year until his junior year. He's going to be fine.
Ryan, I agree with you on that, but I have Lima doesn't even know this. I have an old offensive line coach that is a very well-known guy, and I talked to him, and he's like, no. Why? Because of the arms. Because of the arms. Absolutely not at tackle. Like, he was, and I go, he's played so much football. Look at him. He goes, absolutely not. No. I'm like,
and
okay.
That's how we get to this point.
Yeah, I didn't realize the arm thing was that big of a deal.
Yeah, and we overthink it. Just like when I was talking about Brian Branch and Kyle Hamilton, there's a list of guys where Matt Light had short arms back in the day. He played tackle his entire career. He was good at it. I think it just comes down to the player. Like Peter Skoronski has short arms, Northwestern left tackle, drafted by the Titans. They moved him inside, and that was the right move. His body type is a little different than Will Campbell's. He's a little longer, a little more stretched out. But, you know, these are the conversations you have to have, and your coach has to be able to work with these players. And if he doesn't feel comfortable with them at tackle, then either you don't draft him or you have to draft him with the understanding that that young man maybe has to move to another position. And although, by the way, it's not easy just saying, hey, you, go play a position you never played before against some of the best athletes in the world, and let's see how it goes. So that's something else you have to keep in mind that we don't talk a lot about.
Unfair question. 20 seconds. I mean, 20 seconds. The Browns take Shedeur Sanders, number two overall. Are we talking about a quarterback high for the Browns in 2026?
No. I like Kevin Stefanski. I think Shedeur Sanders in the right spot with his mind right can win you some football games. But you got to get rid of all the other noise that surrounds Cleveland.
Ryan Wilson, CBS Sports. We thank him very much for his time on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Follow him on Twitter, at Ryan Wilson, CBS, one of the best. He is their draft analyst, senior draft analyst, also hosts the With the First Pick podcast. He does a wonderful job on there. There you go, trying to talk me out of Travis Hunter.